Now we're glad to see all of you have come tonight and trust the Lord will bless you for your coming. And tonight we are going to take up the theme of the problems of Christian living. However, tonight we're going to look at problems. And you know, it's a strange thing to talk about problems. Maybe you come to the meeting and say, I have enough problems of my own and enough problems in my house. And you're going to speak on problems. Well, we'll never be free from problems and we'll arrive in the glory. And we must remember that your New Testament is written with that in view. James is one epistle that gives us the problems in human life. And of course, if you go to Corinthians, it will give you the problems in assembly life. And if you go to the seven churches, you'll find at least five of them, and there were problems very, very, very evident in those seven churches. But there's never a problem that there's not an answer for. And the point is, if we're sufficiently in touch with God, we will find we will have answers to those problems that confront us. And they do confront us, every one of us. And so tonight we will pursue that by the help of the Holy Spirit. We could suppose one of the first things we did learn when God saved us was that we did have a threefold enemy to encounter and to contest. And that's what I have tonight, if God help me by His gracious Spirit, to look upon the threefold problem that confronts every believer. And one has to do with the flesh, and I'll qualify what that means. The other has to do with the world, and the third one has to do with the devil. When we speak of the flesh, we're speaking of that corrupt nature that indwells us from the day we were born, and will be with us until the day we arrive in the glory. The Bible looks at the Christian who's born again, who's redeemed by precious blood, looks at that Christian as in the Spirit, or in Christ, or in God the Father. But it looks at the Christian as the flesh in us. We're not seen as in the flesh. We're seen as in Christ, in the Spirit, in God the Father. But the flesh is in us. Like if I hadn't to contend with the flesh tonight, we would have a great time. We would be all smiling. We'd be all amening. We'd be all maybe even an odd hallelujah. But because of these adversaries that we have to face, and these foes that we have to contest, we learn this lesson that the way home to glory is not, it's not plain sailing. And maybe we tell sinners, you know, when you get saved, all your problems are over. The woman started. And I thought all my problems were over. Oh yes, as far as coming into judgment, never. As far as ever spending 1 second in hell, never. As far as being in heaven, sure. All that's clear and plain, secure, untouchable, indisputable. But on the way to heaven, it is not plain sailing. And if you have found it, raise your hand. So hold your peace from now on. It's not plain sailing. There are things that we have to contest. Maybe I'm right in saying this, that I'm sorry for that little fella there. I wish he would swivel round and round, because I go round and round. But anyway, I'll try to speak before him. When I first got saved, and when you first got saved, probably you did think, and maybe sincerely, that everything's settled now, that no more problems, mind is clear, the heart is in love with Christ, I got a Bible, I got a Vines dictionary, and I pray to my Father, and I love the Lord Jesus, and things are wonderful, beautiful, plain sailing, singing. I used to sing when I first got saved. I'm not a singer. I croak here and there, but I sing. I like to see people sing. Listen, by the way, if you don't sing, try to sing. Try to sing. Even the old crow croaks. God made a bird. Maybe you get the nightingale, they sing beautiful. And all that, the lark, as it goes up. But my friend, you know, I think that every one of us, I know we may not keep the tune, and we may find it a little difficult, and maybe out of tune at times. But you know, we had an old preacher in the old country. He's the old-fashioned type, you know. Excuse me for going back to the good old days. I don't know whether they're good old days or not, but anyway, to talk about that, I wasn't there. I'm in the good days now. These are good days. Don't you go back and say, well, it was different way back in the good old days. Get the good days now. You can't live away back in the tombs. They're gone. We are now present. Don't let us hang our hands and say, well, the good old days are gone. I don't want to go back to horse and buggy. No. I don't want to go back to a house when you had to put a dozen quilts over you to keep yourself warm. Do you? I don't want to go back to that time when all I had was a little bath in front of a fire with a bath you once a month. No, I don't want that, friend. We're living in a good age. I know all those things. We'll get there in a moment, but let's stop a moment. These are good days for Christians. In this part of the world, definitely. My friends, and I hope we see that. But you know, when first saved, we did have the idea that things were, you know, the path was smooth and rosy. And maybe when we preach the gospel, we give that impression. And I like to do that. I mean, I like to give people the thought, you get saved, you're happy. That's true. And you can say the joy bells ring. Yes, that's true. You can say everybody's happy around you. Yes, you're saved. But maybe we don't stress enough when we're preaching. Remember. The world out there is going to hit you. And they're not going to throw their arms around you. No. Well, I can say that the ram like scared rats when the sun he come. Oh, he's going to preach to me. And that's Albert there. Look at him. No, the world's not going to. No, they're not going to throw out their hand. Maybe an odd one will do that knew you maybe a little, and they saw the change and they respected it. But down deep, the world really is no friend. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so we're going to see here, my friend, one of the big things that we first have to face, one of the problems that we have to face is what we call sinful flesh or sinful self. Now Peter says we have to abstain. Timothy says we have to flee. Chapter 6:11. And 2 Timothy 2:12, we have to flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have to flee. That means to say that in this great pathway to the glory upon which we started by the new birth, by precious blood, we started out on a course. Yes, we thought everything was going to be small, sailing the wind at our back. But then suddenly we found we had an inner contention that was contending to rob us of spiritual values and spiritual joy. And we had to learn, brethren, and we're learning, and I never cease to learn. Till I get to the glory, we have to battle and battle and battle to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. The conflict's on. The battle started. That's why, friend, that we have to be honest. In this meeting tonight, this is maybe a little different avenue than the three nights before, but come back tomorrow night, it's better. We'll get on a better subject. But anyway, this is very important to get a hold of. that we have to abstain. They're pilgrims and they're strangers. Peter's writing to a people that's passing through persecution, and the fires of pressure are upon them. And there they are as pilgrims going home, strangers away from home. And he says, look, your contest, yes, it's out there, the world's against you, but your greatest contest is in here. The flesh in us, war against the soul. And he says, abstain from them. You know, brethren and sisters, that we can't always be yes people. We have to be no at times. And when those sinister, cruel things upset us from within, wrong thoughts, wrong actions, bitter feelings, all come from within. That's the fleshly nature, that's the evil principle, that's the corrupt nature that's in you and me. We have to abstain. 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 Now if I can get that to young people, you older people know what I mean. If you can get a hold of this young believer, there's things that you have to abstain from to keep your soul in touch with Christ. And to enjoy your Christianity, and to enjoy the Word, and to enjoy the people of God, and to enjoy assembly fellowship, and to enjoy spiritual matter, we have to abstain from those things that crop up within. Indeed, if I wrote down today my wrong thoughts, you'd be surprised. And listen, if I wrote down your wrong thoughts, probably I would be surprised. That's the battle. That is the battle. And the only way, now I touched last night the power, but I want to get back to this. The only way that I can overcome and have the grace to say no and come out with triumph and victory in my pathway with these opposing forces against me. The awful peril of the flesh. P-E-R-I-L. It's not, just in case you don't get my language right. P-E-A-R-L is peril. P-E-R-I-L is peril. I hope you get it. Do you get it? I'm on the P-E-R-I-L. The peril of the flesh. We're going to continue that in a moment. The peril of the world. We're going to touch that. The peril of Satan. We're going to touch that. Those are the three things that are almost traps, landmines, in the Christian path to try to take us off course, to destroy our lives, to keep us away from Christ, the enjoyment of Christ. And brethren, we have to have safeguards and bulwarks against it. Now the bulwark, listen, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Do you know Peter has a lovely word in 2 Peter. He mentions it to the God of all grace. He mentions to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when I have wrong thoughts, and when I have wrong aspirations, and when things would come into my mind of a disturbing nature, I'm going to be very simple. Not that you think I'm too simple, but here, even dreams. The only way I can get my soul back into the current of God's thoughts is to focus on Christ. And get my mind saturated with a Savior. You know, I don't know, we have all different personalities, a good thing, and good thing. I'm glad they're not all like me. Boy, when I see my child like me, I'm almost scared. But I like to go to bed at night. When I do go, I'm not saying you do this, but I try to practice it. I usually, before I try to close my eyes, I usually say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanser from all sin. What a pillar. I'm not saying it solves everything, but it helps me. And when I come into the problem, and listen, brethren and sisters, we ought to be down the line, we're living in that society, aren't we? Fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Those things that would come in, that would contaminate, destroy and defile. Now we have to abstain, say no. Have you had that experience? Not long on the road until it, you find, my friend, I didn't think I would have those thoughts. I didn't think I would think that way. I didn't think I would have those desires. I didn't think. But there they are. Abstain. Do you know, another thing we'll find is flee. Now this has to do with riches. I know that's the context. I'm not going to touch that for the second part. But that has to do with riches in the context. But what he says is this: but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Abstain from flesh and lust, and don't let a world of riches destroy you. Better to flee from them. Better to take the word of the Proverbs. Give me neither riches nor poverty, but feed me with food convenient. Better to say no. Now I'm just getting a point here, because it's they that work for rich. You don't take the lotto here, I know you don't. There's a lot of people get that lotto thing, and it says, I went into the store just recently and said, you want 66? I said, 66 what? 66 lotto. I said, no. Yeah. What could I think it was something like, was it 10 million or something? And I could have sat there and scratched my head and said, imagine me putting that in and my number come up. Boy, I could build gospel halls. So, you know, you know the way the mind ticks? I remember one time with my little grandson, it just comes to mind, little Brennan at the time, and the dear little fella, you know, he's like a wee tank. I liked them, and I took them in the car, you know. You know what grandfathers are. They do more for their grandchildren than their own children. I don't know why that is. Well, I don't know why. Anyway, they can pull the wood over your eyes. You can get off with murder. Anyway, I took them into town to pick up a parcel, and this parcel was to pick up at Sears in town for my wife. And I took them in, and I was in a hurry, so he didn't get his little shoes laced. I said, you're all right, Brian. Jump into the car. And he jumped in with his wee shoes half traveling along, you know, and get into the car, and there was, we headed down to Sears, and I went in, and at that time, Dan Prince tried to educate me with what we would call methodical discipline. That is, he gave me a nice big Franklin planner. And he says, Albert, this will help you. Call me Pa. Pa, this will help you. You know, to get everything in order, the phone calls that are most important, 1, 2, 3. And the calls that are most important, 1, 2, 3. And what you have to do, and, you know, when you have to get your car changed, the oil changed. And when you have to, everything. And so I patiently, and, of course, I wasn't too happy, but I was patiently went down and put all in. And I put in my Visa card and my MasterCard, and I put in my bank book, and I put in, not that there was much in it. But anyway, I put all that in, and there I had it. Okay. And little Brennan's there, and he says, Grandpa, are you going to buy me some candy? So I said, yeah, we'll get you candy, sonny. And fine, kept him happy. In we went. He would keep saying to me, I need my shoes tied. Oh, you're all right. And of course we get out, and I hauled him into the little Sears, and went in there, and as soon as we get in, had my planner. He said to me, you hold on to that planner the way you'd hold on to a Bible. I mean, it's just like, it's almost like your Bible, like, only it's not a Bible, but it's everything's in it. And so I remember then I got my goods in the box, and I pulled the wee fella out and rushed over. He said, "My shoes." Ah, I said, "Forget about the shoes, are all right. And come on in here." And I put him into the seat. But what I did, I set the planter up on top of the roof of the car. And I put this thing in the trunk, and I put the little boy in, and put the buckles around him. Fine. Into the car, off I went. Headed up the road, and over the little bridge there in Bridgewater, and suddenly, my planner, where is it? Oh! Brenda says, "Grandpa, my shoes." I said, "Would you please keep quiet?" "Oh, excuse me, that's the Irish. That's the flesh." And, of course, I turned around, and one of those, you know, the police went around, you know, "You wouldn't do that." And I headed right back, and I went into the parking lot, and I looked everywhere, under cars, under trucks, no problem. I said, "Sonny, I have to go in. Can I go in with you?" I said, "My shoes." I said, "Forget about your shoes." And I pulled them right in there, and we followed us half out of them and half into them, and there I went in. So someone said to me, I said, "I'd want to go to that little desk." And probably be there. I said, "Is that a lost and found?" "No, it's not lost and found, but they do get a lot of things. And pick up people at last and leave it there." So I walked up, but there's a big queue. There's about half a dozen or a dozen people there. But it's the lotto box. They're selling lotto at that little stand. And I'm standing in line. Yeah. And I'm standing in line. And I said to myself, "Oh, you shouldn't be here." And I then I noticed a friend, lived four or five doors down. They'll think I'm buying a lotto. Now all I'm looking for is my planner. So I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Brown." I said, "Just a minute." I said, "Oh, is that you, Mr. Hall?" I said, "Yes." I said, "You know, I'm not here for the same thing you're here." I said, "You're here to buy a lotto." And oh, but I said, "I don't buy a lotto." Well, he said, "I would be surprised if you did. See what the people think." Yeah. I said, "You know," and just to the wee priest, I said, "You know, I lost my plan and I just want to get to the desk that I was putting it down. But I said, I struck true gold. I trusted Christ on the roadside. And money can't buy it." So I went up to the desk. I said, "Excuse me." I went one by one and another. I said, "Look, did you say, excuse me for a moment. I'm not buying a lot of here. You know, you get a wee bit of courage sometimes." And I said, "I'm not buying a lot of here, but did you see a planner here?" "No." I said, "Well, let's go." And he said, "My shoes, guy?" I just dragged them right out. I was so big a hurry, got them into the car, headed to the police station. And up the road I went, up the hill. Full blast. Oh, excuse me. Well, faster than I should have. And when I got to the police station, jumped out, got the wee fella in, I could see that policeman. Yeah, I could have hugged him. He had a big planner like this. He says, "Are you looking for this?" He saw my face. And he knew there was something wrong. And I was so desperate. And he said, "Are you looking for this?" I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Now, why I told you this, listen. We don't need to be found in those places buying what the world are aping to get to make themselves rich overnight. Few make it. I'm going to say something. I've nothing against this when I'm talking. I'm against that. Yes, score that. Not for a believer. Not for a believer. I've got 2 pennies in my pocket. And Christ enjoyed in my soul that all the millions of lotto that would take me away from God so far, yeah, you'd wonder whether I was going to heaven or not. Abstain. Flee. Flee. Like a plague. Flee like a plague. Oh, my God. Write these things. Young believers are brought up in it. And it's getting more obvious. And getting more obvious. May the Lord help us. I'm just going to say, you might be even in this, so if I say something wrong here, give me a good handshake afterwards. I've nothing against what you're doing when I say this. But you know what? You'd enjoy, join Amway.
One of the big things with Amway is this. Now, it's all right with me, but you can do it and make your money out, it's fine. But I find that Amway are almost telling you you're going to be a millionaire very shortly. That's their ploy. That's their ploy. Now, you can sell Amway. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But I remember one man trying to get me introduced to Amway. He said, you know, it's a good little sideline. And he said, you could, you know, people are getting big cars out of it. And you know, they're driving Cadillacs. Well, I says to him, brother, when you get a Cadillac in your driveway, I'll not be thinking of it. He never got one. No, there's a few get them. I find believers are very susceptible to things. Pretty much, you know, we drown and fall for things very quickly. Now, I know we're living in the world, no matter what, this is practical. No matter what you do, generally speaking, the pressure of our world and society is you have to live it. That is, you have to live Amway morning, noon, and night. Dream it. Think it. Preach it. You wouldn't pray, but I mean, that's it. In fact, I was taking up the Book of Ruth in Northern Ireland, and a dear sister, and she was a lovely, lovely woman, very nice, and very clean, very modest, a nice little smile when I was speaking, and you know, after me, she said, Mr. Hall, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, she says. It just reminded me of Amway. Ooh. Because I was speaking about dedication, you see. And Ruth was dedicated, and dedicated to Boaz, and dedicated to the field, and dedicated to all the interests of Boaz, and went over consecration in it, and chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and went all over the lovely trips, and lovely... And she was relating that to her Amway. Dedicated, 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 dedicated. Listen, your dedication should be to Christ first. Your dedication should be the spirit of not the spirit. You know something? The rest will fall into line. Don't put the cart before the horse. Don't try to go in for a passing world now and miss out on the spiritual. Go in for the spiritual now and God will bless you. Now I'm going to say this. When I first got saved, and this has nothing to do with you folks tonight. Nothing at all. When I first got saved, raw from the world, just absolutely raw, hardly knew how to dress. And I got a job in a grocery business. And of course, there were things, that I'm not going to mention them, there were things that I was involved with in that grocery business that my Albert Holland, just use myself here a moment, I was not happy about. Two items in particular, I wasn't happy. It bothered me. Because I was just saved. Pictures of Brand from the burning, and I didn't want to get, I wanted to say goodbye to the world, and I wanted to live for God. But I was involved, that was it, I was just involved. Wasn't happy. A dear elder in the meeting where I was received, he looked at me, and he noticed that I was under, and I asked, great to have shepherds that are watching. Great to have shepherds that are watching the flock. You know, just looking. He's come over to me, he says, Albert, he says, I notice you're not just as happy as you were. I says, no. I says, happy I'm not. He said, is there something bothering you? Could it be a help? Could I be a help to you? You know, try to help younger people. Draw near to them. I love that man. He's like a big teddy bear. Kind big man. And he said, can I help? Well, I said, this is my problem. I said, it's just a little exercise. I don't know either, but I said, I'll just have no peace about it. Well, he said, well, can I give you a little advice? He said, because I've come through a lot in my time, he's come through the 30s. He said, you know, if you're exercised, if it's something that is really bothering you, this was his advice. It's really bothering you, it's really causing you some concern, and you're not happy, and you're losing, you know what to do? Step out from it in confidence that God will bless you.
I said, that's my advice, pray about it.
Well, I resigned. I resigned from my job. Of course, it wasn't very much then. It was only about $3 a week. But anyway, I'm not old, by the way. I mean, the wages in Ireland were different than the wages here. And anyway, I well remember, you know, you could go to the unemployment and you could take your check. You got free check.
So I remember going, you wouldn't do it here because it's a different setup, but at that time you went and there was a long line of about 100
or maybe 200 folk all lined up to get their unemployment check. Some of them were smoking and some of them were cigars and some of them were a bottle of beer and some of them shaggy hair and some of them half clothed and there they were, they were hungry. It's just what you are, you know. I mean, I feel for them, but come on.
Well, I did make it to the little desk and they gave me whatever it was.
I just put it in my hand, I put it in my pocket. I said, Lord, by the grace of God and by your help, this is the last time I'll stand in that queue. So I was giving me two hands, 2 feet. Whatever comes, I'll take it. But nothing come. So I was left with nothing for, I think I went about 10 days and was coming near the town for another. I said, look, I'm going to knock every place around here, the stores and the shops and the garages. And I went to this place, that place, that, come to this garage. When I got to the garage, there were Pentecostal people, I believe, saved. And I went there and I said, look, sir, I'm not long saved. And I said, I've no job, I've no work. And he said, look, there's not much around here. He said, all we have is an old Bedford truck. And he says, we deliver oil in 40-gallon barrels. And you get a little jug and a little tap and you put it in and then you take it to the tank where the people are using oil. Old-fashioned range for the rent. You have a little funnel. He says, I can let you, you know, he says, I can't give you very much. I said, I'm not worried about the wages, but I am worried about the work. I'd be glad to do it. So I got that old Bedford truck. Here I am, just saved. Convicted about my path. Wanting to do what was right. Wanting to please Christ. And now I'm stuck on a snail oil from morning to night. Drips over your clothes. And it was under the old Bedford more than it was above it. The old gear stuck. You know the gears in the thing they got there? you had to carry screwdrivers and all. Almost thought you'd get the hammer sometimes at it. But anyway, there it was. And I was home at 9 o'clock at night. And you know, those were my happy days. Because in this pocket I had a bundle of tracts. I met more people up around those hills in Northern Ireland outside Belfast. Around those hills, I talked to them about their souls, met them gospel tracts. I would call it a joyful 6 months with nothing in my pocket. And only the smell of oil in my clothes. Yeah. I met Catholics and Protestants. I got on fine with them, just give them the tracts, had a little word in the gospel, told them how God saved me. I remember going to one woman and she was as pious as, well, as you could get. And she said, I told her how I could save it. She said, why, boy, you needed it. Oh, I said, yes, I did, but what about you? But anyway, I went all around there. And you know what I did? You see, I'm dragging at a point. That is, after 6 months, there were 2 jobs come up in the paper, in the newspaper. One was a manager, I'm only 21, a manager of a grocery chain operation. Now, it wasn't like the big ones right here, so I don't want to exaggerate. You know, you can't compare 42 years ago to now. You see the big supermarkets even over in Ireland have them. Come on, their feet a wee bit there. And anyway, these 2 jobs come up. One was for It's not, I can hardly pronounce that word, Britannica Encyclopedia. Is that the right word? So I said, well, anything's better than what I'm doing. I'm 6 months and my mother's washing my clothes all the time. The smell, and be nice to get a job that you're home at night, and you know. And so I put in for the two. And I had a dear sister, God bless her, she's still living, and dear Evelyn said to me, when she knew that I'd put in them resumes, she said, Albert, God was with Joseph and prospered him. And I said, you put the Lord first, you'll find that God will give you that job. I said, not the one with grocery. I said, I mean, there'll be about 2 dozen men in for that or more, and all experienced men. What do I know? But anyway, I was used to grocery from a message boy. And the other Britannica, well, I thought I could get that. Anyone could get that. Selling round doors, that thing. Anyway, I got the two replies. Offered the both jobs. Yeah. And I remember, well, this man come up, well dressed and groomed. You know, the way the old fellas had themselves as neat as pins. Not a hair out of place, and beautiful tie. I'd never seen things like that before. Nice suit. Got the door, says, Albert Hall, I'm here. I said, that's me. Oh boy, God is good. He says, you got your resume and he said, he sent you word. He said, just thought I'd come up to have a little chat with you. I said, come on in. So he came into the house where my mother was and sat down and chatted a little. He said, tell me why are you leaving? Why are you leaving the previous job? And then he said, I can see you're leaving this one, but why are you leaving it? I told him, honestly, sincerely, as a Christian. He said, when did you start? Start next Monday? I said, right on.